No,
Okay.
well, I don't know. You do the cloud, you can do it in
That's
your
what Tully
computer.
told me.
Oh,
That's
cloud?
what
Okay.
Tully told me. Please, I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm glad you're out of surgery.
Can I begin?
Yes, please.
Okay, very good. Well, good luck, everybody. Lovely to see you after Hanukkah enlightenment. So, are you able to share the screen? Baruch, you know how to do it?
Baruch, he's talking to you.
Baruch, you're muted. You have to unmute yourself. There you go. Okay.
We're ready for
Are
that
you able to
already?
share the screen? You know how to do it?
Yes, are we ready for that already? No intro?
No, that's the
Oh,
intro.
okay. It
Let's
was
get
on.
straight into
Okay, I did prepare, but then the kids use the computer, and now
it.
17 more screens are open. Okay, so one second. Let's, yeah,
Use
seriously.
your discretion as to which one you're sharing there.
Okay, let's.
Everyone close their eyes and then we can open them when we get the go-ahead.
Okay, I found it now. And we can.
Back to share the screen.
Oh, gotcha.
Very good. Okay, now we can go ahead. So, what have we got tonight? So, the Shaila is like this. Where we're holding? We're holding in Halacha. We see that if you make a sale and you add conditions to that sale, and then there comes a big machlokas of whether the condition has been met, not been met. We establish that halakhically, we look at that. If it's a sophic, whether the condition has been kept, we said, look, the sale was a good sale. The sale was a good sale. And you don't know whether things it broke up or not. So we say, well, until proven otherwise, we assume the sale's a good sale. Yeah, of course, we don't know if the condition destroyed the sale, didn't destroy the sale. We keep the sale as a good sale. Okay. So therefore, now we have a shaila, and we'll repeat the shaila. What we finished off on last week. We had a mother-in-law who very much appreciated our son-in-law as and our very good learning. And when he had his seventh child, she said, I'm going to buy him a present, a special present. And that present was a menorah, and a silver menorah, very expensive item, sent over to her son-in-law. And the son opened up and said, hey, this is a menorah, wonderful, lovely present from the mother-in-law. But problem, I can't use it because a menorah is also to use. The chora, the menorah is also to use. And what am I going to do? So the rabbi advised him and the mother-in-law agreed, try and get it back, try and go to the shop and ask to exchange it to the chanukiah. A menorah is seven branch, which you can't use. Try and change it to the chanukiah, to something you can use. So, here, the shopkeeper obviously refused because he said, I've been trying to get rid of this for years. No one's bought it. No one wants it. But now I've got rid of it. And you're the guy who bought it. So now in din turn, does he have to give it back or not? Is it a mekach tos or not? So chora, to sell something which can't be used, it's a mekach tos. It's a mum, it's useless in halacha. But it's not so poshut. Why? Because in Yoreter, we have a machlokas, whether in fact is also to use. So the Piskei Tshuva brought down, we just repeat the two shittas, the Piskei Tshuva brought down in Marmokah number one over there. So I'm a sefer Tiferes the Moshe. So Gossav, the Oven Kovan Oslo, if you, a Jew didn't do it, a Goy made the menorah, seven blocks from there. Mutzah, Ledor, Babeso, Rishtabish, there's no issa in having it in your house, no issa in using it, the only issa is making it. So you didn't make it, so you can use it. So that's what the shopkeeper say. What do you mean I've sold you something you can't use? According to the issa is only to make it, not to use it. You can use it because they could use it. It's a fine working order. So why, Taka, are we knowing not to use it? Why in out there, most of the people don't use such a thing? Well, because the Vilna Gaon over there says, midrabbanan midrabbanan is even to have in your house, it's also midrabbanan. When the Vilna Gaon, it's also even midrabbanan. What's the issa? Based on, even though the issa is to make it, the chora, not to have it in your house or use it, The is based on chashad, marsaim. They think you made it, and there's no clue nowadays whether they really think you made it or nothing. The ma'aser of one made an osa to have it in your house, and therefore you can't use it. That's what we base on. So now we have about eight shayla like this. You definitely bought it. Well, the mother-in-law definitely bought it, and you've got a sopik whether it's a mekachtos on the sadah to Ferris of Moshe that's useless to be used. Then of course it's a mekachtos, and you can give it back. You sold me something which can't be used. But on this, on the sadah of the Vilna Gaon, it's useless. But on the sadah to Ferris of Moshe that you can use it, then I've sold you something working good order, not mekachtos. Sopik mekachtos. What's going to be a halok in such a case where you've got a vadai sale? And Sophic Mekotos. We know when it's a Vadai sale, Sophic condition, then whether you fulfill the condition, we say the sale is valid and keep it by the buyer. Here we have a different China. Vadai sale, Sophic, whether it's a Mekotos. Can you blow it up with a Mekotos? What's going to be the halacha in that? That's what we want to place on the in front of everyone last week at the end of the year. That's what we're going to try and establish this week. What's that halacha when it says Vadai sale, Sophic Mekotos? Who's going to have to suffer the losses under those circumstances?
I think he has to give it back irrespective of the Mekachtos consideration, because he said he couldn't sell it for years, right?
He said he couldn't sell it for years, yes.
So that means it was fairly worthless. So you had here Onah.
No, it's definitely the price of the silver and the actual menorah is not far off. It's not far off. The value of these modern-day silver menorahs and the actual value of the actual silver itself are not far off. So Onah is not such an issue over here of value. So just you can melt it down and sell it silver. Silver place, take it. Come up, get the same value of what it is. Yeah, menorah, the fact that menorah doesn't add much value to it. So Onah is not an issue. So it is it mekotos? Dumb, it's useless, not useless. I bought it for lighting, can't use it for lighting. Mach locus. Okay, so what we're going to do in such a scenario. So let's go back to our Mama Gomez, introduce this week's Shaila Maisa Shaika Hoya, and use this to try and establish what we're going to do in our Menorah case. So if you go back to the page, go slightly down to the picture, move it slightly down, Doc. Yeah, that's great. Here we've got a Shaila like this Maisa Shaika Hoya. Reuven bought from Shimon. Reuven bought from Shimon an apartment. Great. An apartment. And in the deal, it says the apartment, you're buying an apartment which has rights to build on the roof. Rights to build on the roof. Right? So Reuven sold it to Shimon. Shimon's now signed contracts, passed on the money, and now he moves in thinking he's got rights to build on the roof. Now, he investigates afterwards, finds out afterwards, when he tries to actually get the rights. There's got no rights to build on the roof. And it's impossible to get rights to build on the roof. It just doesn't exist. That's an option. So, of course, Shimon contacts Reuven and says, hey, what you've done? You misled me into buying your apartment, which said in the contract specifically that I have rights to build. I can't extend on the roof at all. Can't do this extension, which is in this picture. I can't do it. Well, what are you going to say about it? Yeah, it's not right. So Reuven said, you're correct. You're correct. You know what? I misled you. And you've paid for it already. But I understand you're upset. I understand you can blow up the deal. But you know what? I'm willing to give you a monetary dispensation to accept the deal as it is. Are you willing to accept the deal as it is if I give you a money, send some money back, so to speak. And they discussed on the value of the money giving back, and Shimon said, they think about it a bit, and then Shimon gets back and says, I'm willing. I'm giving up my rights to blow up the thing. I'm mochel, if you want to learn it in the Loshon Halachically, I'm mochel my rights to blow up the contract. That's it. I'm accepting the conditions and the compensation as it is. Okay. They never got round to actually writing it down or transferring the money. It's then when a few days later, Shimon came back to Reuven and said, I've changed my mind. Changed my mind. Thought about it a bit longer. Changed my mind. I want to blow up the deal. I want it. Mekachtos. Mekachtos. Want to blow up the deal. So now the question upon us now is, can Shimon change his mind from a Mishnah green? When he bought it, he definitely had a right to forget about it. You sold me something which doesn't exist, and therefore I'm not agreeing to the whole deal. But then he agreed to go through the deal without actually getting what he initially had in the contract. He's mocking that right. Now he wants to change his mind and come back to the original position where he wants to blow up the deal. Can he now change his mind after initially agreeing? Now, nothing is inviting and no money is transferred in hands. He initially agreed, now he's backing out. Can he back out or not back out? That's the question of his original Mechila. Can he back out of the original Mechila? Now, what do you say?
Question in writing.
And ask everybody, what do they think it's dependent on whether he can change his mind or not change his mind? Yeah, what do we think?
Whether he made an agreement, you said in the facts that they didn't write it down and it wasn't made into a legal document. So we're back to the original state where the buyer said, here's the problem, and he can back out. Answer is he can back out.
So Menachem is being a very good lawyer. He's saying, I don't care about what you speak or you talk, I just look at the paper. But let's discuss in halacha. Halacha, does it mean, is it nonsense that anything happens with his initial and therefore didn't do anything or not? That's the shayla in halacha in front of us. Menachem said, I don't care because on the device that he didn't write anything down, so it doesn't mean anything. Halachically, are we going to look at maybe there's one side of the coin, two sides of the coin? How are we going to describe the shayla in front of us?
It has to do with karkos, and karkos, if it's not written down, it doesn't happen.
That's when you're selling karkos, okay? Or buying karkos.
We say it's not karkos about mechila, if it needs a kinyan or not.
Oh, okay. You want to say whether Mechila needs a Kenyan is a machlokas? That's a bit more complicated. Let's get that before that stage. What's the two options upon us? What's happened? Reuven sold an apartment to Shimon. Let me describe what happened. Reuven sold the apartment to Shimon. Shimon owns it, according to the contract. Comes along Reuven to Shimon, and Shimon says back to Reuven, I can break the contract. And they make discussions. So Shimon actually says, I agree not to break the contract. So what's that called? That's called Mechila. Mechila, you want to know, does Mechila work on these circumstances or not?
Yes, but it has to be with a Kenyan, no?
Right, look, let me ask you that. It's Reuven owes Shimon money. If Reuven owes Shimon money, and then Shimon says to Reuven, I know who you, what's the halacha? Reuven owes $100 to Shimon, and Shimon says, I know who. What's the halacha? Is it the end of debt? Can the next day he say, you still owe me $100?
No.
Obviously not, because Mechila works. Yeah? So it is, whether Mechila works under these circumstances.
Mechila didn't happen because he didn't get. It was a mechila al tanai, and he didn't get the money.
Not mechila al tanai. He's willing to give it.
Agreed to be mochel. Wasn't mochel yet. He would agree to be mochel.
No mochel. He said, "I'm not willing to. I'm not saying I will be mochel in a few days. I'm mochel now. Forget it. That's it. You just owe me money. Now you owe me money.
That's not what he said. He said, if you give me the money, I'll be mochel."
No, that's what you said. What? That's not what he said. He said, are you happy to keep the apartments if I give you back $50,000 or 50,000 shekels, whatever the agreement, monetary agreement? And he said, yes, I'm happy to give it.
Okay, so he said, if
I'm giving the apartments, you just give me 50,000 back. Fine.
But if.
That's cool. You don't owe me 50,000. I make a claim. You owe me 50,000.
No, if it's a tonight.
I can't say forget about what the agreement I mean.
If is a tanai, he said it. He said the word if. That's a tanai.
No, it's not tanai. Tanai, we already learned, is a whole business how to make a tanai. tonight, tonight, Kofel, B'nai God, B'nai Reuben.
Okay, yeah, so then the whole thing didn't happen. If you
no, keep it as it is. Give me the 50,000. Give me the 50,000. Let's avoid let's say the words in such a fashion where Mutters can't even suggest it's the time. Okay, let's say it in such a way. Fine, keep it. Not just give me 50,000 next week. I'm ready, Mochel. Fine, commander. Complete utter mechila. So what's the side that shouldn't work? What's the sound to say he can change his mind?
I don't understand, Ralph. Once he, there's a pasuk, isn't there? Ushmor motseis efasecha tishmor. Isn't that a derisa? He's already verbally accepted the terms the Kaplan proposed. Right. So how can he later change his mind?
That is derisa, but doesn't mean that necessarily. That just says you're naughty if you don't keep your words or you don't have good reasons to keep your words. Well, we want to know, even if you want to be naughty, or even if you've got good reasons where you cannot, don't always have to keep your word when you've got to do good reasons, can you still technically break it or it's too late? It's a done deal. If it's a done deal and there's nothing exists to come back halachically, so forget about the issurim or forget about your ability to change your mouth, you can't even do it because it's finished. It doesn't exist the possibility to undo. It's already happened. It's too late.
So we're asking basically,
means
is he able to do it? Is he able to do it?
Once you don't owe me money, I can't just say, now you owe me money. That's what normally is. So this
is a neveira. No, so isn't it neveira?
What?
Changing your.
Yeah, you're changing words. Okay. Change your words. This is Surin. We're discussing, sometimes you can do that if you've got good reasons. We're discussing, think about is Surin. About changing your words if you've got good reasons, even if you've got good reasons, even if you want to do this, does it work or not? Working or not, nothing to do with sin. Working or not is whether it exists, the ability in your power to make a claim that nothing happens and you still have the original position. Now, what's the two stodim? The two stodim are like this. If you say, when I've sold your apartment and now I have a right to blow it up and say, not the apartment, but blow up the deal, to say the deal never happens because it's a mekhtos. What's Peshat and mekhtos? It's mekhtos suggesting that I never bought anything in the first place. And since I never bought anything in the first place, therefore, it's not mine, it's yours. Because you sold me a table and now it's a chair. So I didn't buy a chair, I bought a table. Yeah? I didn't buy this. It's, it never was mine, this chair. If that's Peshat and mekhtos, Then, of course, the mechila doesn't mean anything. Yeah? A mechila, of course, what's mechila over here? In order, Reuven sold something for Shimon. Shimon never acquired it because it ended up being that Shimon never wanted it. So if we're going to say the house still belongs to Shimon because after the transaction, the original transaction is useless because it never created what he wanted. You have to do a new transaction. And since Shimon just said, I'm local, he didn't actually write a new contract up with new conditions and new reasonings of transfer, then the Mechila didn't do anything and it remains Reuven's. Reuven tried to sell him a house and Shimon never bought the house. And Shimon said, okay, I will build a house. So basically, I want that house, even although I didn't get the attic. Well, if you do, you have to now write a new contract because the original Kenyan contract was useless because he never bought it because it was a Mekhtos. Mekhtos means he never bought it in the first place. If that's the Peshat and Mekhtos, then of course he can change his mind, even if he said, now I agree, I can come back another day and say, I don't agree, I don't want to take it anymore. Because at the moment, if you haven't actually formalized this in a contract, a transfer never took place from Reuben to Shimon. Reuben never sold his house to Shimon. Words don't sell a house, like we said before. Karka, you can't sell karka with words. You can only sell karka with a contract. Where's the contract? The original contract didn't work because it's a mekhtos. You have to make a new one. You never made a new one. You just spoke. Of course you can change your mind. You said I agree, and now you didn't. Yeah? You can always agree to buy a house and then change your mind if you never sign a contract. So obviously, Mechila won't stop him changing his mind under those circumstances. If that's what Mekhtos is. If Mekhtos means the original contract is useless and you have to make a new one, obviously Mechila doesn't make a new contract and therefore you can just change your mind. You haven't written a new contract. But if you learn that Mekhtos is, Reuben actually sold Shimon with the original contract, the house. It's just Shimon has the ability to break that contract. And we're asking him, do you want to break the contract? And he says, I agree not to break the contract. So if he agrees to not break the contract, so now it's too late. Mechila is saying, I'm mochel on my ability to break the contract. I had the ability, I just mochel on that right. You're mochel on the right, then you stick with the original contract that actually sold it to you. The original contract did sell it to you. You have a right to make it nonsense. You didn't, you're mochel on that right to make it nonsense. And obviously now the house is yours. Now, if the house is now actually transferred to Shimon with the original contract, he can't suddenly change his mind the following day and say, I've changed my mind. What do you mean? It's too late. You bought it with the original contract. You gave up your right to break it. And now you're stuck. Like every mechila, once you give up your right, you're stuck. So that's the shayla. Is Mekar Tas mean that there's no contract in the first place? Or is Mekar Tas means there is a contract, you have a right to break it, and now you've no call on your right? That's the two sides of the coin, whether he can change his mind in according to the Chosha Mishra, besides his surim, besides the changing
can I ask, mind. Can yes? I ask a question?
Yes, of course, Rabbi Nachman.
Two questions. One, does the form of Mechila have to be in the same form as the original transaction? The original transaction was in writing. Then does the mechila have to be in writing? That's the first question. And the second question is, I can tell you, in Goyish law, if the other person has changed their position to their disadvantage because you made some commitment, for example, if he's moichel, and now the seller changed his position, he had other buyers, he told them, forget it, my first buyer remains, then the buyer is stuck. But if he didn't change his position to a disadvantage, he can change his mind. So is this different than halacha? That, I mean,
you know, you got 2 points, both are very valid. The second point is specifically in secular, and the halacha doesn't recognize that type of logic. Yeah, it's very clear. If it's something that can be mochel on, then mechila works. If it's something that needs a contract, then mechila doesn't work. It's not like it depends on whether there's a disadvantage through your mechila whether thing. That's definitely halacha doesn't. First point, it depends how the original contract is written. If there's a clause in the original contract that says the only way to change the terms of the contract is to make another written type of contract to change those terms, then it could be that clause will prevent any verbal agreements apart from it. So it depends if there's such a clause in such a contract, the original contract that says such a thing. Okay, that's a thing. But emails are definitely recognized as written agreements. A lot of states in America consider emails. You should be careful about what you write an email. Thinking emails are written are considered written contracts, and therefore, since this is all done by email, it fulfilled that condition of the contract. If you want to be extra careful when you write contracts, write that type of written way of changing money. You can say, if you want to change this contract, then you have to write it in a signed by both parties in another contract. You can't just say in a written form. If it's a written form, then emails can count. A lot of cases can count as fulfilling that condition. So therefore, we have this shayla in halacha now that he's done a mechila, but we have to understand what mechach tas is. Is Mekar Tas mean there was never a contract in the first place, or Mekar Tas just means it was a contract, just have a right to blow it up? Those are the two options. So let's see where Rekiva Eger. Rekiva Eger explains what Mekar Tas is out of those two options.
You have just explained that there's only one way, that the Mekar Tas does not destroy the contract because the buyer had a chance to be moichel the missing apartment or the land or whatever it is, which means it was still in existence, the contract.
One side of the coin. Or do we say that Bechatos, by definition Bechatos in halacha means that you tried to buy a chair and he gave you a table. Obviously, that contract is not binding on the table. So therefore, you never bought anything. It's metaphors means is imaginary. It's everything's written, everything's very clear, but it's talking about an item which doesn't exist. So obviously nothing happened. Or is Mechatos saying, no, what you bought is what you bought, and it is a reference to this item. It's just you have another way of getting out of the deal because it's not exactly what you wanted.
Is this like a nakhon? This is different than a nakhon, right? A shore. That is
yeah, it's different for nothing. We're going to explain exactly what type of mistake we're here. So let's see where Rekiva Eger. So Rekiva Eger, we go back to the Marma Comas. Rekiva Eger number two says the following. Says he's got Gemara and Subas, and he says the following. So the Gemara and Subas, he's got a rhyme. And what's his conclusion? You won't go into his proof. It's a complicated thing. You can look in the Rekiva Eger itself and work on the Gemara and see what his proof is. But this is what it concludes. Mokach, the kol mekatos, the alma, all types of mekatos, the up below hitna, that even although you didn't make a condition in the original agreements, you didn't say in the original agreements, I want to buy a chair and not a table. You didn't speak it out, and it's not written there. You just said, I want to buy a chair. You didn't say, and not a table. Yeah? So mocha to call back a toss, even if it's not written that you don't want to buy the item which they're giving you, and in sadi to kapid, we know, of course, if it's written there that you want a chair and they give you a table, obviously, you're mapping, you don't want a table, you want a chair. Everyone knows that he's wanting to buy what he wrote and not things which are not written there. So what is it? Have a kehitna. So therefore, it's like an inbuilt tanai. That if you don't give me the chair which has been offered and how it's presented, then obviously I can get rid of the contract because that's an inbuilt condition written in the contract. Mahani didn't sign. Every mekatos works like a tanai. Every mekatos says, well, I bought a chair and you gave me a table. So why can I break the deal? You know why I can break? Because when I wrote, I bought chairs. Kiilu, I wrote in the contract that I'm buying a chair. And if you give me a table, then I don't want to buy it. So therefore, now you give me a table. So now I can say, I don't want to buy it because it's written in the contract. I'm not going to buy a table. That's every mekatos is like written in the contract that you don't want this, and you can break the deal based on the fact that you don't get what you actually agreed.
If I understand correctly, Rav, according to what we're saying now, according to strict halacha, Yaakov Avinu could have just said goodbye to Leah, no get or anything like that, just got rid of her like that.
So, correct? He could have, but the shaila is, what does it work? Yeah, of course he could say that to you. I didn't intend to marry her. There's a whole discussion over there. Does he need to make a new condition or the original condition works? And he had das at the time that he was a masupik. Okay, we're not going to get into that discussion, more deeper discussion on that issue. What's coming out? What's Nogair to us from the Shri Keva is he's defining Mekatos is that it's just another Tanai. All Mekatos is another condition that's written in the contract. Now, what did we say, how conditions work? Does conditions work mean you never bought it, or condition works, you bought it, you just can change your mind and get rid of the contract and start from the beginning, i.e. you bought it on Sunday, you get it on Tuesday, you find out that the condition wasn't fulfilled. Do we say it was never bought on Sunday? Do we say it belonged to you between Sunday and Tuesday? Just now, Tuesday, we see the condition wasn't fulfilled. You can get rid of it from Tuesday, and now from Tuesday onwards, it's not yours. What did we say by the Tanai case? Do we say when the condition is not fulfilled, that between Sunday and Tuesday, it was yours, the buyer, and Tuesday onwards, it's not his? Or do we say when the condition is not filled, that means even though you only found out Tuesday, it means originally on Sunday, it was never a sale in the first place? What did we conclude on that? What did we conclude how condition works?
The last.
Don't say the last, say the case. Was it a valid sale between Sunday and Tuesday, and only from Tuesday onwards it was nothing? Or was once you find out the condition wasn't fulfilled, it was never sale from Sunday. Which one was it?
Never good from the beginning.
What did we say last week? Who did we say the hall belongs to?
We said it was a sale. It was a sale. The Tanai is ochre the sale.
Yeah, we said that the condition worked, that the sale was good, and even when you don't fulfill the condition, it's still a good sale. Just you can blow it up from now onwards, not me, Korah, not the Mafreya. That's why we pass into that case. When Reuven Shul sells this hat, the hall, to Shimon Shul, we said Shimon Shul keep it, because they actually made a proper sale, and even if there's a condition, the sale is still valid for a certain period of time. Even when there's a condition not kept, the sale is valid until the condition is decided to be inactuated. And even when it's inactive, activate this condition, it just means from now onwards there's no sale, just it was a sale up until now. So therefore, if you're saying that's how condition works, it never blows up the original contract. All it means is that you can got a right to stop things as it is now. And you'll say Mekatos, Rebbe Kiva says, Mekatos is just like condition. All it is another condition in the contract. So you put one and one together. That even Mekatos doesn't blow up the original sale. All Mekatos gives him a right to say, I'm not happy to proceed. You take it back from here onwards. If so, that means the original contract is always valid. You don't need to write a new contract. Even by Mekatos, you don't need to write a new contract. You just have a right to say, I don't want to carry on. And since he over here, in our Pacific case, he said, I'm mochel on my right to destroy the contract. That means you keep keeping the contract. Once you keep the contract, and you're ready to be mochel on your right to change it. So now you're stuck with it, and you have to continue, and not you can't change your mind and say, well, I've changed my mind, I'm going to blow up the contract. Too late.
Just a minute. That seems very unfair. So that, I have a tiny on that analysis. And that is, if the contract, even though the person didn't get a substantial part of what he had agreed to give, and the buyer didn't get it, in the meantime, when the buyer finds out, there could have been a day or two or three until he goes to a lawyer, four or five. He is responsible for whatever happens on that property.
No, taxes. No, responsible. That's a separate. We can't muddle up claims over here. Before he owns it during that time, but responsibility is what is, because he was tricked into ownership in that time. So therefore, he's got claims of, if there's any suits on him, libel suits on him because of whoever owns it that day, he's got claims that you're the cause of it, Grama, Mazikim, you're the thing, Gamin, whatever you want to say, therefore you're going to have to pay because of additional halakhic reasoning, not because it's not right. It's fine, but you put me in that situation, you have to pay.
The problem with that is that very often the seller or the person you are you're paying on behalf and then you're going to retrieve the money, doesn't have the money to give you back. And therefore...
Okay, that's always that's a technical problem. It's got nothing to do with what we're discussing, how halakhically we see the ownership over here of this item. It's got nothing to do with that. You're just talking about technical problem. The guy owes you money. You want to get it back. And he hasn't got it. What are you going to do over there? That's nothing to do with our shayla of who owns the actual house. The house, we want to know who owns. And he can blow up the sale. If it blows up, for sure, he is entitled to get his money back. He's already spent it. Okay, he spent it. Now you've got problems. That's always a
question.
He's entitled to love.
I was not here last week, so I'm just going to ask a question on the premise that you said. By Kiddushin, we know the Mekachtos means the Kiddushin never happened to begin with.
Oh, yeah. And that's,
how is that different here?
That's basically a very different, conceptual issue. Shimnov, what's your first name? Shimnov.
Shimon.
Shimon,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shimon already mentioned a similar type of thing to Matas. He's saying, well, we know that it's a Mekatos by Kedushin means you're not married at all from the beginning. So how can Rekima Eger say you are married, you have bought the thing, you just can stop it here? We know that it never existed in the first time, Mekatos. So Rekima Eger can't mean what he means, because we know from our outside knowledge there are cases where such a big mistake happens, where obviously it never existed, the connection. There was never a relationship because, hey, I was supposed to marry Rocco, I ended up marrying Leia. Of course, I married Rocco, not Leia. So I haven't married Leia at all. How can Rebecca Baker say every mistake is a marriage, is a Kenyan, and you can just break it up? We know that there are cases out there from our knowledge that the thing doesn't even start. So to answer that question, I was prepared for your question. And we suit number three. Number three defines where we actually say Ruki Vega and where we don't. So obviously, we can't use Ruki Vega across the board under all circumstances. You look at number three, the following. He says, somebody sells to his friends. He says, I want to buy oranges. And instead, he gives him pears. Okay? Ain't got mecha. There's no sale. For shame, you're the luck of him. Of course, everyone can back out. There's no sale. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Yain v'nimtza chumetz. I asked for wine, you gave me vinegar. Oh, I'll be around. The sale never existed from the beginning. Avimochal chitim yofus. V'nimtza ros. But you asked for good quality wheat. End of the day, it was wheat, but it wasn't good quality wheat. It was the Sheva Shonim of famine rather than the Sheva Shonim of plenty. Okay? Lokeach Yochalatva, in such a scenario, the buyer who's being done in can back out, but the seller can't. I feel another, even if the price is not a problem, but still, you did me in. I asked for good quality wheat, and you gave me famine quality wheat. So therefore, the buyer, you did me in, I can back out. But the seller can't back out. So we see in this Shulchanach, there's two cases. One case where the sale doesn't start and anyone can back out. The buyer, seller, doesn't mean if the guilty party himself can back out. Because I never sold you anything. You want wine, I gave you vinegar. I can back out and get my vinegar back. Yeah, even though I'm the one who tricked you because the sale never existed. But if I sell you wheat, but you wanted good, and at the back being bad, so then the sale is a good sale, but the one who's been done in can back out because all he wanted. So we see there's two types of merkach tos. One where it never started, and one that it's good and just got a right to back out. So the question in front of us is which category does our case fit in? Which category does our case fit in? Does the cat, our case, he bought a house, he wanted to have rights to build on the roof, he didn't get that bite to the roof. Is that like Yayin Vinita Chometz where the sale didn't even start? Even according to Rekhi Vega, agree that's not a sale from the beginning, it's a fair shulchan aruch. It's not Mekatos, it's just I never bought it. You sold me something different totally. It never started. Of course, then I can just change my backwards for the words. I never bought it. So obviously I can change my mind one day to another day whether I want to go through until I write a contract. Or do we say a house case where he didn't get the rights to build on the roof is like a case of, yeah, I'm supposed to buy good quality wheat. And you get a bad quality wheat. The sale's a good sale. You should have a right, if you want, to break it. If you don't, then the sale, it keeps it, the original contract is valid, and it keeps, and that's it, now you're stuck. So our question now is that, what type of category is this house? Like the wine case, the chometz, the no sale, of course you can change your mind, or is it like the case of bad and good quality wheat, where once you've made up your mind and you specialize it, you've given up your rights and you're stuck with it?
Which, like the wheat.
Which category does it fall into?
Like the wheat.
So Bach says exactly, and that's what I expected for Bach. He's a kablan. He builds things, builds houses. Yeah, I expect that there's good and bad, but yeah, so therefore the deal's a good deal. And once you made up mind, you can't suddenly change your mind the following day. That's what Baruch is saying. Everyone agree to that?
I don't, but the whole point is he wanted the deal because he wanted to build on the roof. If he'd known Lechatchila that there was no permission to build on the roof, he would not have entered the deal. It was only later he initially reconciled himself to the situation.
So and which, then he, but he's got two cases now. But he's got two cases in Shulchan Aruch where he, obviously he wanted one thing and he given something else and he never got it. So in both cases, he can always say, I don't want it. But there's two types. There's a case where it's this, you never bought this because it's so different. It was wine and vinegar. And therefore,
I think that's what it is.
The case of bad quality wheat, good quality wheat. Well, of course, you don't want good, bad quality, but you can back out. But if you don't back out, then the original transaction was a good transaction because it's not so far off. Is it way off or not so far off? That's basically
way off. Well, it's like the wine and vinegar, in my opinion, because it would not have entered the deal if he'd have known that this was not possible to build on the roof.
That's not correct, because if you look at the facts, he did continue the deal.
And after the fact.
Well, but you don't know what his original intentions were. He would have liked to add the room, but maybe he would have bought the house anyway.
So Menachem say something very good. You don't know whether the right to build is what they call in the jargon in England, at least the lawyers' jargon, whether it's a deal breaker or not. Deal breaker or not. That's what Menachem is saying. Well, Shimon is assuming it is, but who says? Maybe it's slightly, he wants to be in the area. He would like to build. So, okay, can't build. So, you don't know. It's a deal breaker. So, we've got opinions out there, here, there, everywhere. Well, if you want to add something before we see what we can conclude from, at least from some sort of halachic source.
Yeah, if the contract said the house has three bathrooms and it ended up having two bathrooms, so that is something which is a deal breaker because it is quality right now. It was just completely different than what the contract said. But this is just saying that it has the potential to eventually do in the future. Some people actualize that potential in a week after purchasing it, and some people after 7 years. So it's just a difference, I think, in the quality of the house. It's still a house. And Erica is saying, the principle seems to be that if the buyer might be worse off with nothing, he should be the one with the option to back out or not.
Yeah, of course. Eric, you're right. The buyer can always back out. Correct. Doesn't matter which case. Doesn't matter if it's wine, vinegar, or it's like good quality words or bad quality. He can always back out. The shot is, once he said, I'm not backing out, is it that he's now stuck? Or do we say, no, he never bought the item. So if it's wine, vinegar, he never bought it. So he could just say, on Monday, I agree with the vinegar. And on Tuesday, he can say, I don't want vinegar because he never bought the vinegar because he bought wine. But if it's good quality wheat and bad quality wheat, he bought the bad quality wheat. He has a right to say, I don't want it. But if he says, I agree with it, that's it. You can't now change on Tuesday. That's the difference. He can always initially change. The child is getting changed a second time. That's the difference between two cases. And Baruch is saying, it's like the wheat case. Shimon is saying, it's like the wine case. Let's see if we've got a proof from Amar Mokomas, number four.
I just want to say that the Lushan of saying deal breaker doesn't seem to me to be appropriate, because somebody could never, ever want to buy bad wheat, no matter what the price is. He doesn't eat bad wheat. It could be a deal breaker for him also. It's just a difference. Good wheat and bad wheat are wheat. It's the same mahut. It's the same essence, the same thing. It's just two different qualities. If you're buying something completely different, that's what we're talking about. It's not a matter of deal breaker or not.
So the loss and deal breaker. Yeah. Mr. Bloch, you want to say something?
No, sorry.
So the loss and deal breaker we're trying to use over here, is it so much of a deal breaker? He wouldn't go into it in the first place. That, to him, and it's obvious to everybody, has to be obvious to everyone, to him, it's obvious that this scenario is wine and vinegar. So Shimon says it's obvious it's wine and vinegar because no one would do this. Whereas Menachem said, what do you mean? Some people do this, and some people it's not a big deal. He'll still go for it. And so does Baruch. Let's see what the Rav Nach says. Shut Rav Nach, one of the Shonim. He can bring a riot from him. Allah Taida. Let's see. I'm going to read it out. You tell me what's the proof from him. Allah Taida Shaton Ruvain Mishim. Reuven has a claim against Shimon. Levatal Abekach. How about him? To say, I don't want to buy these houses. Sha'omele Shimon Shayes Masan. Because Shimon told him, when he sold it to Reuven, Shimon told him, there's a Masan. Taktov. Underneath, there's a Masan. Yeah. But Nimsa Shein Lo. And then he finds out, you go in, there's no Machsan. Hey, there's no Machsan. In Reuven Mavar Zebe Eitim, if Reuven can prove this with witnesses, Shekachoy Ameka, that was the condition that there's a Machsan, Vadai Chisar Machsan Mum Godel. Abata. If that's where it's terrible, I bought a house with a Machsan, and there's no Machsan. Of course, that's something to say. It's a Mum. It's a Rabbis. It's definitely not the house you want. V'yochel latzema, you can back out. Afal pisha shor begam mishtamish Rabbis. Even if actually Shimon moved in and actually lived there a bit, Reuven moved in and he actually lived there a bit, he can still back out and say, end of the day, you told me there's a matzah, there's no matzah, I don't want it. V'lo amah harambam mishtamish b'ayin echoza edison, no delay hamam. The Rambam only says that you're stuck with the deal only when you've lived in it with full knowledge that's of the problem and you still live in it. That's the only case you cannot back out, when you know of the problem and you use it and you live in it. But if you didn't know of the problem, even if you used it, you can still back out. And since Reuven didn't know there's no Machsan, so he used it for a few days, and then he found out there's no Machsan, now he can back out because he never used it with the knowledge that there's no Machsan. Okay, that's the Ranach. What's the Ranach approved to our side? Is our case of missing the rights to build on the roof like wine and vinegar? Or is our place like a case of bad wheat and good wheat based on this Ranach? What do you say?
I think it's wine and vinegar. He says you have to prove it, though, with Adam, but it's a mum. He compares it to a mum. So that's the wine and vinegar.
Well, a bad and good wheat is also a mum. Like, again, I'm stressing what you seem to be saying the same as Eric, David. That, of course, even in both cases, he can always back out. Good wheat, bad wheat is a bad thing for him. He can back out. You want to know, is it so bad you never bought it, or you bought it, you just got a right to back out? That was our shiny. So what do we prove from the Ranach? Similar to our case. You bought something, you're supposed to have a Machsan. In our case, you bought something, you're supposed to have a rights on the roof to build.
Oh, a house.
So Eric says it's a good sale.
I think that because the Ranach is saying a house less a critical structure is not considered a sale, so this is also less a critical structure.
So Matis, you're saying it's not a sale.
Correct.
That is like the wine and vinegar that never was a sale. That's what your Matis is saying. Eric is arguing and saying it is a good sale. Anyone else want to say anything with reasoning?
I think it's a sale. It's just a defect.
It's a good
future.
Sale. It says Yachol Lachzor Bo. Yachol Lachzor Bo means that he could be Chayzer from it. He's got the right of being Chayzer, but there's something that's there. Otherwise, you need a new contract. You have to be new Mechiro Bechlal in the first place. According to the first way of understanding.
Shmuel was also saying to sell like Eric. So we've got Paul, Eric, and Baruch all saying it's a good sale. You've got Matzah saying it's not a sale. Okay. David also didn't want to say it's a sale. Not sure if he's changed his mind on that position, but he also said the position is not a sale. Let us. If he knows and he still keeps it, then he can't look at it. Yeah, better than it. Absolute. Let me speak out what Eric said. Absolute proof. What did the Ranach say? We don't need to go back to the screen unless you want to see it again. You can go back to the screen if you want. What did Ranach say? Ranach says outside, he said like this. Hey, I bought a house with my son. And it's not my son. Definitely a problem. Definitely, that's a problem that you can say I back out. Fine. Okay, but I don't know how big a problem at this stage. Maybe it's like a problem of wine vinegar. Maybe it's like a problem of good wheat and bad wheat. At this stage, no proof. Okay. But then he carries on, he says, the Rambam tells us, if once you know there's a problem and you still use it, that's it. End of the game. You have to keep it. You can't back out.
It's a mechila.
That's a mechila, correct. That by knowing it is a problem and using it is like a mechila. Now, if it's wine and vinegar, mechila doesn't work to own the vinegar. You bought wine, you didn't buy vinegar. Even if you start using the vinegar, it's not yours. Not yours, because you never did a transaction on the vinegar. Mechila doesn't work. Nothing works on vinegar. If it's bad wheat, good wheat, then you bought the bad wheat. And you've got a right to be mochel. If you start using the bad wheat, that means you have been mochel. That's it, you're stuck. So the fact that the Ranach says, when you buy a house and then you have a matzan, you're supposed to have a matzan, you don't. And you know you're supposed to have a matzan and you don't. And you know there's no matzan. And you start using it. They name off the moment, it's a mechila. And yeah, you're stuck. Proves, undoubtedly, as Eric says, that means it's not in the category of wine and vinegar. It's in the category of good wheat and bad wheat. That the sale was a good sale. You have a right to be mochel, a right to blow it up. You decide to be mochel, you keep it with the original transaction. That means it's not like wine and wheat and vinegar. It's like good wheat and bad wheat. So therefore, based on that, the Beiskin Pastans, in this case, under the scenarios, that he stuck with the deal because it wasn't, he never bought the house with the original contract. He did buy the house. He just had the right to blow it up because you didn't give him rights on the roof. He decided to be mochel it. And therefore, based on what we learned tonight, you can back out. But once you're mochel, you're stuck because it's like good wheat and bad wheat. Once you be mochel, you can't now change your mind. Now, we're not going to go into further precedent cases. There are more complications than that cases, but based on those specific halakhas, that's what should come out. There's a whole shine of issue, like David mentioned at the beginning of Sugya, in Mechila itself, where it applies, doesn't apply. And there was an Iru to the basin about another issue, and therefore the Pesach came out slightly different afterwards. But we're not going to go in that issue when we do halachas of Mechav Tars and all that, and in more detail we've discussed the issue. But we've achieved what we've achieved tonight on understanding how does Mechav Tars work. Mechav Tars works that sometimes it's like a Tanai, that the sale's a good sale, you just have a right to blow it up. And sometimes it never was a sale, depends how far off from what you bought. If it's, and the two categories are wine and vinegar, that's never a sale. And there's a category called good wheat, bad wheat is a sale. A house missing a machzan, a house missing an attic, or a right to build is not considered like wine vinegar. It's considered in the category good wheat and bad wheat. Okay. Let me ask my final question tonight.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, of course. Please.
Now, let us assume it's Take a mechila because he stayed there. And it has to assume he knew what he was doing. He knew that was a mechila. He knew he would be stuck. Would the best in make an adjustment in the price?
Of course. If there's issues of onar, then you can always claim onar on those issues where you bought out. In our specific case, that there was specific agreement based on adjustment of price. So of course, even if we say he's stuck with the house because he has no rights to build, but there was, there was an understanding that you're going to get 50,000, whatever it is, shekels, dollars back based on that loss. Okay, that's about true in such a way. Here's my last question tonight to you. Now, think about what we've talked about, how Mechav Tars works. It's a good sale, just you can blow up, it was never a good sale. It's two categories. Come back to our case and think about it till next week. The menorah case. The shopkeeper sold a menorah and the guy who bought it says menorah's useless, according to some opinions. I don't want to use the menorah because according to some things, halakha, you can't use the menorah. So you sold me something useless. Says the shopkeeper, says according to other opinions, I sold you something useful. So therefore, I'm not going to give back your money because I don't hold it's a Mechav Tars. Machlokas, is it Mechav Tars or not? Sophie, if it's a Mechav Tars or not. Sofik if it's useless or not useless. So what are we going to do in that case? You sold something, Sofik if it's a mechatos, who we're going to put, say, has to stick with whatever he's got. Is it the seller or the buyer? Based on the principles of how mechatos works, think about it, and we'll make a conclusion right now to the beginning of next week's share on that particular issue. Have a wonderful question. Week. Love seeing all of you.
The question is whether that's wheat or the other thing, right?
Yes. Is it wheat? Fine. Oh. That's the question.
Yafe.
Okay, very simple thing to think about till next week. We'll remind you at the beginning of the share the question, and we'll go from there. Have a wonderful week. All my Yedidim Chaverim. Enjoyed being with you.
Thank you, Yashakar.
Yashakar. Did he say have a good week or a good